you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue to look at the Beatitudes. And I hope that these Beatitudes are something that you're growing from as we look at each one. Because remember, this is a sermon from the greatest preacher ever. It's not me, it's Jesus. And Jesus is giving us a word to encourage us and to tell us, this is what it looks like when you follow me. This is what it looks like as you begin to change. And he starts looking at our heart and says, look inside to see who you are and what you're becoming. And we've been looking at several of these, and each one is very encouraging. We began with the poor in spirit, and we talked about how we've got to have a heart that's still hungry for more of God. Not to stop, but keep yearning and keep growing and keep yearning for more of the things of God. One of my favorites that we looked at so far has been blessed are the meek. Because so many times when we think of meek, we think of weakness. You know, think of somebody who's timid and shy. And generally, I'm kind of a timid, shy person. And so all the time, when early in my ministry, people come and say, oh, you're so meek. And I would think, oh, yeah, that means you're weak, you know. But I didn't really fully understand it. But the more you begin to understand what meekness is, it's about giving control of your life to God so that he funnels the power that God gives to you inside. It's like a horse. And you remember the video that we showed of a horse being broken and how so many times a horse that's wild, it takes so long to break that horse because they've been marked on the side, branded maybe two or three times. And so there's pain. They don't trust. And then how finally they learn to trust the cowboy or the one who's going to ride him until they finally let him on. And then that cowboy takes that horse that's still very powerful, but now uses that power for good. And that's what meekness is. It's allowing God to use that power in us for good instead of just in a rage and evil. But all these things are so cool to look at. Today we're going to be looking at one that is another one that's kind of neat. It's called the Blessed Are the Poor in Heart, for they shall see God. Now, I don't know about you, but today there are all kinds of different soaps out there. Have you been and noticed how many different types of soaps when you go try to pick out a soap to take home? I mean, and they all got swag and they got smell and they're going to make you do this and that. But there's only one soap that is pure, doesn't have additives and doesn't have impurities and doesn't have fragrances or colors. Matter of fact, it says it's 99.7% pure. Anybody want to guess which one it is? Man, I don't know. I thought I had something on you. And you knew. I guess everybody knows. I guess I'm the last one on the planet to realize this. But Ivory, it's the purest soap out there. Matter of fact, I was reading on this thing, and this thing will actually float in water. It's so pure. Isn't that cool? I mean, I just never knew that. But anyway, that's really cool. I guess I'm in on it. You already knew. But Ivory soap is pure. It has no additives, no fragrances, no colors. I did know when I went through surgery once that the doctor said, before you come, you got to bathe in this stuff. Because they don't want to have you having any kind of thing else on your body when you go through surgery. So they want you to have it pure. And so Ivory's the one that I remember having to bathe with. But anyhow, God says, blessed are the pure. And when he's talking about this, God is saying, man, I want you to be the Ivory soap in the world. I want you to be the Ivory. He says, because I want your heart to be pure, without additives, without impurities. I want your motives to be pure. He's looking for followers whose hearts are undivided, unmixed, undiluted in their love for him. When God finds a follower like that, there's a tremendous blessing that comes. When God finds one who has their motives that are pure towards him, it is though their love, his love for them, goes to a whole nother level. God reveals himself to those who are pure in heart. Our culture is obsessed with how you look and how you dress. We're all about images and appearances. If you're beautiful, then you're considered bright, smart, and having it all together. Let me tell you, there's a new app. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's called Lensa, L-E-N-S-A. And what it will do is it will take you and make you look like an avatar on your social media networks. And I've already noticed some of my pastor friends who pastor big churches, they've already done that and got their look, you know, like they look like a superhero or something with it. And it takes their face and it shrinks it in, you know, and it makes it look really cool. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I mean, it's cool to do, but man, we are really obsessed with our image and what we look like and what we appear. Can I tell you, God doesn't care what you look like. He created you the way you look anyway. God doesn't care what you look like. God doesn't care about your images. He doesn't care about your achievements. He doesn't even care about your accomplishments or your successes. You know what God really cares about? Who you are. He cares about your heart. He cares about what's inside of you. Because God doesn't look on the outward. God looks on the inward. Remember the scripture when Samuel was looking for David? And God says this, man looks on the outward appearance in 1 Samuel 16:7. But where does God look? God looks at the heart. God looks inside. Again, our beauty is not on the outward appearance. Our beauty comes within. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What in the world does it mean to see God? For they shall see God. Those with pure hearts will see God. They get to know the presence of God in their lives. They get to experience the power of God in their lives. They get to know the purpose of God in their lives. They get to experience the pardon of God and the peace of God. These are the people who really have it spiritually, so to speak. Those with a pure heart have what we all long for, and that is a real friendship with God, where God is going, that one there, that's my friend, because I see their heart, and their heart has a purity about it. There's a pure motive about their life and their heart. So what does it mean to have a pure heart? We don't use that phrase much anymore. What does it mean to have a pure heart? It means integrity. The one with integrity sees God. In a lot of versions, when it talks about integrity, it will say blameless. One with a blameless heart. So what does integrity mean? It doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean you never sin. It doesn't mean that you always do everything correctly. Because if that were the case, none of us could have a pure heart. For John tells us in 1 John that we're liars if we think we have no sin. Right? Man, that's what I loved about the last song we sang this morning. That God loves us. And that God is changing us. And because God is changing us, and because of what all God is doing in our lives, that is why we worship Him. And our lives then, therefore, now give God glory, right? Give God praise. There are several people in the Bible that were known as people of integrity, or as the Old Testament would say, were blameless before God. One is Noah. Was Noah perfect? No. but he was seen as blameless before God. Another was Abraham. Was Abraham perfect? No. But Abraham was seen as blameless before God. Another was Paul. Was Paul perfect? No. But he was seen as blameless before God. Probably the most famous, though, is David. And if you don't know, David was not perfect either. I once had a class in college where a professor, I guess he just really didn't like David. But he went over and over all his sins that he committed. And it just blew me away. I remember the end of that class, that one class, and he says he got going to talk, I thought, well, God, how in the world could David be a man after your own heart even? Because David committed murder. David committed adultery. David counted the people even though he knew that God told him not to count the people. David at one point acted crazy to fool a king. He was deceptive. And yet, he was a man after God's own heart. Yes, David failed many times. Yet God said, that guy over there, David, yeah, he's blown it many times. But he has a heart after me. I want us all to be like David. I don't mean we have to be perfect, but we need to have a heart after God. It has a pure motive. It says, man, I know I'm here on this planet, and I'm here for one reason, and that's to glorify God and to worship Him. And I may not be perfect, but I'm going to do my best to let my light shine for my God. Right? I think that's what he's talking about. There are three words that describe a pure heart, or a heart of integrity, or a blameless heart. And man, if you got your phone, put in your phone when your notes, or just write them down. But I think these three words are important. The first word is wholeness. It means that your life is not divided up into segments. Your life is whole. Let me take you back to my wife's fourth grade classroom for a moment. I think this is where they learned this. If not, she'll tell me after church. But do you remember when we talked about integers in math class? Remember learning those things? They were whole numbers. They were numbers that couldn't be divided into, like, so example 1, 3. There's nothing that can be divided into 3 or to 5. And the one that always got a lot of people in class was 9, because everybody goes, oh yeah, you can't divide 9. And everybody forget 3 times 3 is 9, you know, so 9 can be divided into. But like 11 can't. 11 is a whole number. So your whole number is like 1, 3, 5, 9, because nothing can be divided into them. They were called integers. Why? Because it's short for integrity. Whole. One. Let me give you another illustration, because I don't know if you're fully getting it. And I think this illustration you're going to like. How many of you like when you go to a party and there's that cheesecake that's out? And it's already sliced in each individual slice. And each slice is different. You know, like you get your chocolate, your strawberry, oh, all the way around. Oh, those things are good, aren't they? That just puts a smile on my face when I see that on the table, right? When you go in the line. Well, many people are like that cheesecake. They slice up their life into different segments. And they're one way here, and they're another way there. You know, it's like the work life is like the plain cheesecake, because there's nothing fun about work, right? So like their work life, they're one way at work. This is who they are at work. But then when they're at church, oh, they're a strawberry cheesecake. They got a strawberry on it. They're a different way at church. And then when they're at home, oh, that's a blueberry cheesecake. That's one of my favorites. That's when you can sit on your chair and you're at your safe place, right? Your place of peace in your home, right? You're one way there. And then with your marriage, you're another way. That's your lemon slice cheesecake. I like lemon. Lemon's good. Don't go, oh, it's good. It's good. Of course, I will admit that's a lot of work in that one, right? But that's another slice in your one way there. But then we have this one that's a chocolate one. Oh, chocolate's really good. But you can't see because that's a hidden one. That's your secret slice. That's who you are when no one is around, right? And in that slice, there's some caramel, but you don't know it. Nobody would know it until they bit into it because you can't see what's inside of that. That's where your secret sins lie. That's who you are when no one is around. The question is, am I one cheesecake? Am I the same in all those categories? Or am I different when I'm on the stage? Am I somebody different when I'm at church than when I'm at home? Am I different when I am at work compared to when I'm at God's house? You see, God wants me to be one cheesecake. He wants me to be pure. He wants me to be one. The Bible says you're double-minded. If you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways. If you continue to change, you can't have peace of mind. Wednesday night, we did a lesson on how can I have peace of mind. And one of the things we discovered, if I am one way here and somewhere else another way, I can't have peace of mind. Because I'm always trying to be different people at different places. The second word that's important is the word authenticity. In other words, I like this. I see this a lot on Roger's Facebook. But Roger always puts, keep it real. Real talk. Real talk. In other words, keep it real. Right? Am I real? Are you the real deal? Or do you wear a mask and pretend that you're somebody you're not? You're not trying to fake it until you make it. You're not trying to be someone else. You're exactly who you appear to be. Integrity means acting the same way no matter where you are. That I'm not different in one location as another. Back in the ancient days when the Greeks were around, I'm going to say around, but it's different Greeks, but back in the day, they loved their plays. And many times when they did their plays, they had one actor who played several different parts. And he'd wear one mask when he played this person, and then he put on another mask when he played this person or that person. And they called this actor Hypocrites, which means hypocrites, is where we get the word hypocrites actually from. In other words, you're one way here, and you're somewhere different another way. Integrity, the third thing that integrity means is unmixed motivations. Unmixed motivations. Your motives are pure. You're not doing things with a false motive. You're pure in heart. Pure in heart means you're doing it for the right reasons. When you talk to God, you're not talking with God to try to impress other people. When you're worshiping God, you're worshiping Him because you love Him. Not because you're trying to impress people at church to think that you're spiritual. Integrity is who you are when no one is watching. I always like to notice how people act when they're not on the platform. In other words, I want to see that worship leader when they're not leading worship. Because if they worship like they do on the platform when they're on the in their seat, then I know that they're real. But if they're on the platform and they worship, but in their seat they're playing on their phone while worship's going on, that tells me there's something going wrong inside of them. Because when they're on the platform, they're doing it for the audience. Because when you're in your seat, you ought to worship God the same way. Because your audience is God. I like listening to people pray. Because when people pray, we're really bad about it in the South, especially in Pentecostal churches. We'll pray with that, and we'll throw in all that stuff. And then when we talk to people normally, we just talk in a normal voice. And I'm thinking, you're praying in a way just to impress me. I don't think God's impressed. My motive needs to be pure. I need to be who I am, where I am, the same person. And that's what gets so many people in trouble. Because they start playing the actor on the stage instead of the person in the pew. I got to be the same. You've got to be the same. Whether you're in here or you're out there. Integrity, pure of heart, means that, man, my motives are pure before God. You see, we're more interested in the image. And God's more interested in our character, our integrity. We're more interested in reputation. And God's more interested in our character. Let me just explain that for a second. Your reputation is how other people see you. Is the image that you present to others. That's your reputation. Your character is who you are when no one is around. This is an illustration that's old, but it's good. Because I think most of you still remember our former governor, Mark Sanford. Remember in 2008, Mark had the reputation of being a family man. He had the reputation of loving his wife. He had the reputation of being a churchgoer and a worshiper of God. But his character was not that. His character was he was a hurting man inside who was looking for love, as the song says, in all the wrong places. And you remember quite well that he was supposed to be on a trail in going up the Appalachian Mountains, and yet he was in Argentina with someone who wasn't his wife. His reputation was one thing. His character was another. Eventually, character always comes out. But God is more impressed with our character than our reputation. Character matters. Who we are matters. In Proverbs 3:22, it says this, "The Lord hates people with twisted hearts." It means people who are one way this or here and another way over there. But the Lord, guess what he does? He delights in those with integrity. He delights in those who have pure motives, who are desiring to live for him no matter where they are. If that's you, and I think that's most of you, or not all of you, then God delights in you. He rejoices in you. But what does it say about the man of integrity? The man of integrity God delights in. So let me give you the blessings that come with a pure heart. Let me give you the blessings that come with a life of integrity. The first thing is a holy confidence. If you have a pure heart, I want to tell you that you have a holy confidence. You have a holy faith because you're not trying to be someone you're not. You know who you are, and so your faith with God is not phony. It's real and it's strong. You're able to be who you are in Christ no matter where you are. Your strength comes from your relationship with God, and you know that you are God's child and you have a purpose. You're able to relax in any setting. Proverbs 10:9 says this, "Blessed people with integrity have a firm footing, but those with a crooked path will slip and fall." Now, I know something about falling. Because most of you know I had a broken arm. I finally got the thing off this week. But I fell, so I know something about falling. I know that a person with integrity has a firm footing. My son-in-law, he likes to hike. He likes to hike the mountains all the time. The other day he was telling me, we're sitting on the couch desk, he says, man, I was out hiking the other day and it had rained and it was raining and it was wet. He says, I didn't have my right shoes on because there's a certain hiking shoe that he has that's made so that when you're on rocks, it will help you keep your grip and your firm footing. He says, I didn't have it. And he says, oh, it was terrible trying to walk over the rocks because I was trying to keep my balance and not to fall. He says, it was just miserable because it took me so long to do the trail. And that's what it's like when we don't have integrity. It's like we're trying to walk on wet rocks and we're just trying to keep our balance and it takes us longer to accomplish what we need to accomplish. One thing for sure is when you walk with integrity, you don't spend so much wasted energy. You're not trying to keep yourself up. You have lots of energy because you're not on a crooked path. A while back, I was talking with a contractor who had come to know Christ. And I was talking with him and I said, Ted, what's been the biggest difference in your life since you came to know Christ? And Ted said, I'm not sweating bullets anymore. He says, every time the phone rings, I don't have to remember what lie I told last to the last person. Now I can just say, I just speak the truth because God has changed me. And it's freed me up so much because I don't have to remember all the lies anymore. That's what God does. Because see, the person without integrity, they can't have peace of mind. Because they're always trying to betray another image. You'll be blessed if you have a pure heart. Second way you'll be blessed is you'll have a lasting legacy. The greatest legacy will be the lasting legacy because it will last from generation to generation. Everything we do will get lost one day. The money we make, it will get collected. It will be divided up among our family. The work we do, well, it will just be given to someone else. I know we think they can't do without us at work, but trust me, I see people come and go all the time. You know, they'll just fill your slot with someone else when you're gone. The plaques and trophies, oh, they wind up eventually in the garage. And then after you're gone, your kids end up getting rid of them because they don't want to hang your little league award on their walls at their house. I don't know why, but they probably won't. You know, the only thing that will last will be your integrity. You can have the greatest impact on the lives of the people around you and in your family in the next generation by the way you live, because integrity matters. In Proverbs 27, it says this, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow after them. I like the way another version puts it this way, a righteous person lives on the basis of his integrity. Blessed are his children after he is gone. Mom and dad, your character matters. It matters. You have been given your kids a wonderful opportunity to see what character means and what the difference it makes. Now, here's the deal. I realize there's no perfect parents. We all have blown it from time to time. But the decisions you have made that have been good decisions, it will be passed on to your children because your integrity is passed on. Someone here may be here today and say, man, my integrity has been shot for a long time. I've blown it many times. I've messed up. I have very little integrity. I don't have much to pass on. But let me tell you, your story is not over. Right? That you can begin today becoming a person of integrity, a person with a pure heart, a person that you have allowed God to change in you. Because your testimony can be that you were once this way, but now you're this way. Because God has changed me. My integrity has changed. A lot of people out there have lost their integrity. And they need to see an example of someone who has changed before their eyes. You see, when you serve God all along and you walk with integrity, people go, that's who they are. And your integrity stands out and is a blessing to your children. But someone who gets saved later in life and gives their life to God or begins to walk in integrity, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on and goes, oh, what's happened with Fred? He's changed. Fred, man, he used to never pay his lunch bill. Now he pays up. Fred used to always talk behind your back. But Fred doesn't talk behind your back anymore. Fred's changed. If Fred can change, maybe I can change. Maybe God can change me. It's never too late. The third blessing of integrity is a reward in eternity. In one sense, the greatest blessing is that we get to spend eternity with God in heaven. If you remember Matthew 25:21, it says this, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Well done, my good and faithful servant. What does he mean? Well done, the one who has lived with a pure heart, who has had the motive that says, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be a Christian no matter where I am. I'm going to let my light shine. Well done. And then notice this word that's in there, in small amount. Most versions say, in small things, right? In small things. Can I tell you, that's the word you need to underline or highlight in your Bible. That's the one you need to focus on. Because that's where the real rewards are. We need to think of integrity and character as the big moments. Like when I'm on the stage preaching, that's the big moment. It's easy to have integrity up here. Hello? It's easy to have integrity when I'm in church and around other people. Because if I blow my integrity, my job's gone. So it's really easy for me to be with integrity when I'm here, right? It's in the small things, when no one's around, when no one's looking, that integrity matters. That's where the reward is. It's not in the big moments of life. The big moments of life generally are easy. You just do the right thing because everybody's watching. Integrity is when the small moments. It's harder to have integrity. But that's what I love about God so much. Because God sees the small moments. And he rewards you for the small moments. Right? Like that, when you stop and turn around and let that person in and open the door, God sees that. When you offer to pray for someone who you meet who has a spouse who has cancer, you take that moment to pray with them. You didn't have to. Nobody was watching. Nobody saw. You know, but you took the time. Because you are who you are. You're a believer in Christ. And you don't change where you go. When you stop, you took a few extra minutes in your day because you had a few extra moments in your free time. And so you stopped and took time and you just worshiped God. And you just pray to him. God sees that. God rewards that. Every small act of kindness, every small act will be rewarded in eternity. Every temptation that you say no to will be rewarded in eternity. Every time you pray, even with a small amount of faith, it's rewarded in eternity. That's the blessing of integrity. God sees what you do when no one else sees. It's in the small things that God takes notice of. I want to share a story that I can't remember where I've shared them at before, but if you've heard it before, just humor me. I'm an old man now, so, you know, just humor me. But when I was a young man, really young, and I was in my early or my mid-20s, I was going through the bank, and I was getting ready to make a deposit with a check, back in the days when you actually did those things. And I had my check, and you know how the tube goes down, it came down, I pulled it out, and there was a $20 bill in there. I said, put the check in, take the $20 bill out, put it in my pocket, send the container back. And then the container went back, they deposited my check, I watched the tube come back, I drove off and said, God, thank you for blessing me with $20. I got driving down the road, I was thinking, oh yeah, this is dinner tonight, this is good, I'm going to eat well tonight. And then the Holy Spirit began to convict me a little bit and say, Lee, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, I don't know. You know, it was there. I mean, I don't think God, you really don't care about 20. And you know, it's just 20. The bank's got loaded. It's got lots of cash in there. Is it really going to miss that $20 bill? So I put it in my pocket, kept it. A few years later, I was teaching a class on integrity. And I was reading a book at that time by Chuck Swindoll, and it's an ancient book, and I don't even remember the title of it. Living Above Mediocrity, I think was the title. And I was reading the book, and he talks about in this book about, it was so crazy to me. Because, you know, I did not grow up in a Christian home, so it was like really crazy. But he said, if you're at a Coke machine, and you put your dollar in or your change in, and all of a sudden all the change starts falling out of the Coke machine, and you don't turn that money in, you're not a person of integrity. I was like, what? I thought that's blessing of God right there, right? But you want me to turn this in? Or then I think you use the same thing of a bubblegum machine or something. Like the bubblegum machine, all of a sudden shooting out bubblegum, and you don't turn that bubblegum in? Man, you know, you're not really being a person of integrity. In that moment, the Holy Spirit said, and remember that $20 bill? I went, oh, no. Man, God, you're not really serious about this stuff, are you? And God began to work on me because then I had to stand up, you know, and teach a bunch of people about integrity. And, you know, and I was like, oh. So I'm at the altar crying, you know, during church so I can get that thing cleaned out of me so I can get up there and speak, right? Well, it wasn't long before God tested me. Because if I'm lying, I'm frying. I mean, this is the honest to goodness truth. You won't believe it. If you haven't heard the story before, you won't believe it because you just go, man, that just doesn't happen. But it did. I pulled in the gas station to go get gas. And laying on the ground was a $5 bill. My initial thought was pick it up and put it in my pocket. Thank you, God. And I said, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm a person of integrity. If I go turn that in, that cashier's going to keep it. Come on, God. You can't really mean for me to turn that in. I said, okay, if I'm really going to repent, I've got to turn that $5 bill in. So I go in to the cashier. I said, okay, I found this outside and out there by the gas pump. Here's the $5 I found, you know, in case somebody comes back for it. There it is. And she took it, and I walked out thinking, yeah, God, okay, I did what was right, but Lord, I hope she doesn't take it too. I mean, come on now, you know. The next week, I go to the same gas station. I'm at the same pump, and there is a $10 bill. And I'm going, God, it's almost getting humorous now, right? I'm going, God, are you really this serious? I said, yeah. So I got the $10 bill. I walked in, turned it in. The third week, if I'm lying, I'm frying. There was a $20 bill laying there. And I looked at that $20 bill and I said, God, At that point, I'm laughing. I think this is so funny. So I go take the $20 bill in. I hand that $20 bill in. Now, why is that lesson so important? You know how many times I'm handed cash by people? I go to the hospital. Sometimes people hand me cash. They put this in the plate for me, Pastor. We collected some money for some people last week. And people came up and handed me cash. It'd be really easy to take some of that cash. No one would ever know. No one would ever see. But if you're going to be a person of integrity, if you're going to have a pure heart, you got to do the right thing. It matters. And God will bless you. God sees you, and you will see God. In other words, you will see God move through your life. You will see his purpose and his plan in your life because you are honoring him with your life. In other words, you got to be real. This Christianity thing is not a game, he's telling us. This is serious stuff. I mean, after all, it's your soul. Where are you going to spend heaven or hell? Serious. So, if you're going to choose to be a Christian, be a Christian. Yeah, you're not going to be perfect. There are going to be times that you blow it. Man, when I went to college, I was not perfect. I grew up in not a Christian home half the time. Most of the time. When I got on the tennis court, sometimes I let out some bad words. Everybody stopped. Like, oh, no, we got a sinner among us. Like, yeah, duh. I'm still changing by the power of God, you know. I wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect that day I took that $20 out of the bank. But here's the deal. I got to have a desire to live for God. Because this isn't a game. Be who you are. You know, if we show up at your work, man, be that Christian at work. Don't go, oh, no, I don't want you to come, Pastor, because, oh, you know, they might find out, you know, who I really am like, you know. It always amazes me, you know, when I was a youth pastor, and I could say, oh, I'm going to show up to school today, tomorrow. I want to have lunch with you. Oh, no, 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 Pastor Lee, that's okay. You don't need to show up today or tomorrow. I'm fine, I'm fine. I got you. I'll see you Wednesday night. But no, you don't need to show up to school. Yeah, I know why you don't want me to show up to school, because you're leaving like a heathen out there. I'm going to show up and embarrass the fool out of you. Right? Because you're living one way at school, you live a different way when you come to church. Some people like that about, you know, your work as well. You know, oh, Pastor, you don't need to show up at work. You know, I'm good, I'm good. Why don't we just meet like after work, you know, at a different location? Right? Because they're living two different lives. Be who you are. You're double-minded all your way. If you're double-minded, you'll be bouncing that. You won't have the peace of God. I want you to have the peace of God. And God said, have a pure heart.